to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, our Lord Jesus is telling us of the signs, the tribulations that will take place as we approach the coming of the great day of judgment, the day of the second coming of Christ. And as he is teaching about the tribulations that Christians must endure, the trials and the troubles that we must endure in this life, he says these words in the 13th verse. He says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." That's a tall order. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So it's not he who begins but falters and fails, but he who continues in the faith shall endure to the end, and that is the person who shall be saved. So here, given the afflictions and the trials and the temptations and the tribulations that we face in life, and we've had our share of them, and given our own sins and our own weaknesses, which we are very aware of, when we hear our Lord Jesus say, "He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved," we are humbled by this, alarmed by this, and we ask ourselves rightly, how can I be sure that I will endure to the end? How do I know that I will make it to the finish line? Now you remember the story of Jesus walking on the water, and the disciples were afraid when they saw him, and he assured them that it was him. And Peter said, "If it is you, let me come out to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come on." And so Peter climbs out of the boat and is walking on the water toward Jesus. But as he's walking, he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts looking at the wind and the waves around him. And he begins to falter. And he starts to sink. And he cries out and he says, "Lord, help me." And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him back up on top of the water and got him to the boat and got him into the boat. And it's a wonderful story because it shows us that despite the wind and the waves, as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we are sound and sure in the faith. But when we take our eyes off of Jesus, take our eyes off of his gospel, we begin to sink. And oh, how far we will sink if we do not come to repentance. So therefore, we learn today that we are to keep our attention focused on the sure promises of God to preserve us in our faith. This is our confidence that we shall endure to the end. Our confidence is not in our own power. Peter boasted on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He boasted that even if everyone else abandons you, I will not abandon you. And Jesus said to him, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said, "That's not going to happen." And we all know what happened. And so we keep our attention focused on what God has promised and what he has done in Christ and how he promises to preserve us in the faith. And this is where our confidence comes from, that yes, I will endure to the end by God's grace in Jesus Christ. So the first thing we want to talk about today is this. God is the one who keeps us in the faith. He begins our faith, he continues our faith, and he completes our faith. Where does it say this in the Bible? I got two passages. One is from our epistle text for the day. Philippians 1:6. Paul says, I am confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you, he who saved you in the waters of baptism and brought you to faith in the preaching of the gospel, he who began a good work in you will perform it. He's going to keep on doing that good work in your life until the day of Jesus Christ, right until the second coming. God not only began his good work in your life, he performs it and he will finish it on the day of Jesus Christ, and you will be welcomed into the kingdom of glory by the Lord Jesus himself. Because your assurance comes not from yourself, it comes from the Lord who preserves us and keeps us in the faith. The second passage I want to share with you that says the same thing is in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he's talking about the fact that God in Christ has begotten us again to a living hope that we have received from God, an incorruptible inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us. So think about that. You have been born again by the work of God in your life through the Word. And you have been given an inheritance that is incorruptible and does not fade away. And this inheritance is reserved for you in heaven. And then it says, and you are kept by the power of God through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. So here he says, you who have been saved in the waters of baptism, you who believe the gospel by the grace of God, you are kept, you are preserved, so that you will persevere, and you are kept by faith in the word of God for the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So God's going to keep doing his work in your life all the way up until the end. So number one, God keeps us in the faith. He begins it, he continues it, he completes it. The second thing that we need to pay attention to today in this is that God preserves us in this faith by means of the gospel and the sacraments. This is very important for us to also keep in mind. God doesn't keep us in the faith by magic. All right? He doesn't keep us in the faith by some kind of something or other that happens somehow, all right, that we never really quite understand or perceive. God uses instruments. He uses vehicles by which he works in our life to preserve us and keep us in the faith. Where does the Bible say this? All right, well, first of all, we need to pay attention to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So he's not ashamed of the message of salvation, the preaching of the good news that we are redeemed and forgiven and given eternal life by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now listen to the words. For it is, the gospel is, the power of God unto salvation. In other words, the gospel is the saving power of God at work in your life. You see that? Because the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. And therefore, the gospel is the power. It's how we came to faith, it's how we continue in the faith, and how we persevere in the faith. Because God is at work through this message, which we hear over and over again, and therefore the power of God is at work through the gospel to keep us in the faith. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we learn that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. So that how do we come to faith and how do we remain in the faith? God brings us to faith and keeps us in faith as we hear the word of God. We call this the doctrine of the means of grace. That there are instruments that God uses in order to work graciously in our lives. And these are his word, particularly the gospel, and the holy sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And therefore God, through the word, keeps us in the faith. He begins our faith and he keeps us in the faith. One more passage about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which, now wait for it, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So he says, when you heard us preach the gospel to you, you received it not as a human message, not as the word of men. You received it as the word of God, which is what it is. And this word of God effectually worketh in you that believe. It's the reason why you are in the faith. It's the reason why you are remain in the faith and why you will make it to the end. Because God's word worketh effectually in you. All right, so that's the second point today. God preserves us in faith by means of the gospel and the sacraments. Number three, we are to diligently use God's word and sacraments. All right? We are to diligently use God's word and sacraments. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, Paul says this. He says, wherefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What does Paul mean in the first verse there, verse 12, when he says, work out your own salvation? He means that in the fear of God, We are to make diligent use of the word and sacraments. We are to come to church to hear the word of God and proclaim it together. We are to receive the blessings of the sacrament of baptism and the blessings of the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of the altar. And we are to be dedicated to this and to be faithful in it and to read our Bibles at home, to not fall into the state of indifference and negligence, but to practice our faith, especially by giving heed to the thing that causes and continues our faith, which is the work of the Holy Ghost by means of the word and the sacraments. And therefore, when he says, work out your own salvation, he's not saying that you can do anything to cause your salvation to happen, but he is saying that you are to use the word by which God works salvation in you. And that's why in the next verse, after he says, work out your own salvation, in verse 13 he says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And what he means by that is the fact that you desire to hear God's word, and you desire to receive the blessings of the sacrament of the altar. The fact that you have a will to learn and hear God's word, and you are doing it, this is God at work in you. Your will to do these things and your performance of these things is God at work in your life by means of the word of God. That should be a very encouraging thing here. So when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he's not teaching works righteousness. That would be absurd. He is telling us that we are to faithfully use the word and sacraments in our life and in our worship, and to understand that when we do this, it doesn't come from us. It comes from the work of God in us. He's the one who causes us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All right, I got another verse for you. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What we have here is very simple. Search the scriptures. Don't be one of those people with a dusty Bible on your book table next to your bed. We don't want no dusty Bibles in the Lutheran Church, especially not the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All right, the ELCA can have all the dusty Bibles they want, but here we're going to not have dusty Bibles, right? Search the scriptures. That means not only read them, but study them and get familiar with them. Jesus, in Luke 11, verse 28, a woman, she gives Jesus this wonderful compliment. She says, after he teaches, she goes, blessed is the womb that bore you and the paps which thou hast sucked. That sounds kind of too much information, you know, for us today, you know. But she's complimenting Jesus. She's basically saying, I love what you're saying, right? So she says, your mother is the luckiest woman on earth, right? And Jesus kind of says, yay, rather. In other words, he receives the compliment from her, but he redirects her thinking a little bit. And he says, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So we are blessed as we hear and keep the word of God. I got one more passage for you for this one, and that is Colossians chapter 3, 16. Paul says to the Colossians and to us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, Does that sound like he's recommending us to be casual and negligent about the use of God's word? No, it sounds to me like he wants us to be diligent in our use of the word and sacraments. Neglect of God's word and the sacraments means spiritual starvation and death. You know, if you see a person who stops eating and drinking, pretty soon they will be dead, right? Physically, I'm talking about. Stop eating and drinking, you will die. It's the same thing with the word of God. You stop using the word of God, you start to starve to death spiritually until you're dead, spiritually dead. There are a load of people in this world. They were baptized. They went to Sunday school. They were confirmed and learned the catechism. They began to fall away. They didn't keep coming to church after they were confirmed. They fell away and their faith began to shrink and shrink and shrink until finally it died and they were lost forever. We don't want to be like that. We want to be those who are working out our own salvation in fear and trembling. We want to be diligent in the use of the word of God. We want to search the scriptures and let it dwell in us richly. All right, the conclusion. The conclusion. The end of us being preserved in the faith is our eternal salvation. St. Peter says, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Or as it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that is, gave him into death for our sins. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him, notice the present tense, believeth, whoever is believing in him, shall not perish, not go to hell, but have everlasting life. That is what we are heading towards by the love and grace of God in Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep, that is the Christians, my sheep hear my voice. They listen to my word. Right? And I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You and I, by means of the word and sacraments, by means of the redemption of God in Christ Jesus, we are held in the hands of the Father and of the Son. And no one is able to pluck us out of his hand. And there, you see, is our confidence. As we keep our eyes on Jesus and upon his word, we are always assured, despite what happens in the world, and despite my sins and my weaknesses, God's grace will triumph over any sin because grace is greater than all of our sins. And therefore, we are confident that he holds us in the palm of his hand. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.